KGMI Consumer News.
Well, how do you bridge the country's growing political divide? One publisher thinks they have found a way. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Simon & Schuster is giving away two books meant to help readers engage with people of opposing political opinions. Amanda Ripley's High Conflict, Why We Get Out, and Anna Sales, Let's Talk About the Hard Things, will both be free on digital audiobook and ebook editions until the end of July. Chief Executive Jonathan Karp says the Supreme Court's recent decision on Roe v. Wade, along with debates on guns, climate change, and immigration, all factored into the company's decision. Simon & Schuster is a division of our parent company here at CBS, Paramount. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Yeah, it seems that over the past, I'd say the past couple of decades, it's been harder and harder to engage in, again, civil political discourse with other folks. It can certainly turn uncivil at times, and I think that's why people are straying away from it. But I think we've gained strategies over the years to combat that, right?
One great strategy is just to stay off social media, or rather, don't engage in discourse on social media. Do it in person. It makes a big difference when you're standing in front of someone and looking at them in the eyes. A couple other books I could recommend. John Locke, The Collective Works. He's got a couple great essays. Two Treaties on Government. Anyone who studied American history knows about that one. Then An Essay Concerning Human Understanding, where he lays out the idea of empiricism and how important it is to educate oneself and to take what we learn in life and apply it to these issues. Also, Common Sense by Thomas Paine. These were great books that our founding fathers read when they were in those pubs having this civil discourse, laying out the foundation for this country. So another great option, perhaps, is to take some friends out to a brewery in Bellingham or Ferndale or Linden. The Newsroom Pub just opened up there, and have these conversations with a beer in front of you. Makes all the difference in the world.
It certainly does. And you're right about the social media aspect of it. I feel like people just go into rabbit holes, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. And there's no gratification from that, I don't think, on any end when you get into a heated debate over something, be it political or not. You know, there doesn't seem to be an end game ever in that.
No, and I think a lot of people come to that with an agenda. They're trying to convince people of something rather than to listen to them with empathy. You know, if you don't understand what the person you're arguing with or debating with or who you disagree with, if you don't understand where they're coming from or what they're thinking about, if you think that pro-lifers just hate women, or if you think pro-choicers want to kill babies, then you're probably not going to get anywhere in this conversation, right?
No. It's all about actually actively listening and understanding. And there's a lot of issues at stake here, right? You have what you just described. You have the abortion debate. We have climate change, which, hey, speaking of, their extreme weather is impacting much of the nation. I don't think we can debate that, really. But CBS's Cammy McCormick is reporting that scientists are putting a lot of the blame on extreme weather on climate change.
There have been brutal heat waves in parts of the U.S. and in Europe and South Asia, drought in East Africa. Scientists published a report today in the journal Environmental Research that looked at weather over the past two decades. It found climate change behind more heat waves and extreme rainfall. Heat waves in particular, it claims, are now three times more likely than before.
Well, that was made pretty apparent by last summer's heat wave that we experienced here. And that started around this time last year, right?
It did, yeah. We had a really hot summer last year. I remember in high school learning about the effect that carbon has on our atmosphere and the atmospheres of other planets. So I'm not sure that's really that debatable. But again, you know, this is one of those conversations where you can say, look, I remember back when I was a kid, everyone seemed to agree that pollution was bad and the carbon that comes out of your car can kill you. So if we can agree that it's bad and perhaps we can do something to slow it down, that can't be a bad thing necessarily. You know, what can we do to prevent pollution and perhaps prevent like a negative economic impact as well? You know, there's a lot of room to jump back and forth on this one. It doesn't have to be such a dig our heels in and yell at each other on this issue. We're all in this together, right?
That's what I hope we are. I mean, we're all on the same planet. We might as well keep it okay. And there's an interesting study that I'm reading here on the effects of climate change. It impacts people before they're even born. And it says that among the study's conclusions, children in poor to moderate income countries are likely to be most affected by climate change. And that can affect the health, that can affect your socioeconomic status. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But to your point, again, so much has changed between between when you were in high school and now in terms of getting things regulated and actually tackling climate change? It's a much different world than I think we grew up in.
It is, and it's important, I think, also to remember that, you know, a lot of these hot button issues that we're dealing with, the impact they're having on our generation kind of pales in comparison to the issues that generations past have had to deal with. So we're lucky to be in the situation we are in, to live in a great country that we live in, and, you know, just remember that.
Right on. And let's keep on making this country and this world a nice, happier place to live in.
Mark well said.
Mark Skelton's got sports coming up next.